Steve, first league win in the bag then today. You must be absolutely delighted with that.
Yeah, we are. You know, it's a, you had an objective going down to Derby County last week, as you know, to score our first goal, get our first point and perhaps our first victory. And we left Derby County last week really disappointed after. Perhaps some say we had, some did right, we deserved a point. I think probably personally I thought we deserved all three. And I think today we've not been right in the first half. We've had to change things around a little bit at half-time and have a little bit more desire to win a football match. And we displayed that in the second half. And, you know, the goal comes from Ryan Hall showing that type of desire. So, we've got a great win.
I was going to point out that that is what Ryan Hall showed in that second half, wasn't it? Because he's essentially tackled the ball into the goal, hasn't he?
Well, I think the boy goes to clear it blind, and I think if you're Kenny, you probably review that and think if you clear it blind, you run the risk that someone might come in and stop you doing that. We're fortunate, of course, that it rolls into the net, but we're very, very unfortunate that we don't get a penalty kick after 2 minutes, because if that's not a handball in the box, we might as well give this game up. And that's with the benefit of having had a look at it afterwards. It's a clear penalty, but perhaps it came too early in the referee's mind to give us a penalty. And perhaps for the first 60 minutes, a lot of things were too early for him because we didn't seem to get a lot. And I'm certainly not questioning Mr. Salisbury's integrity, but it just seemed to be that we were pushing water uphill with 50-50 decisions today, but we've come through that.
Just to go back to the goal, what happened in the immediate aftermath? Because Ryan Hall hurt himself somewhere. Was that in the challenge that led to the goal or the celebration? And what's the issue there?
Yeah, I think when the boy goes to clear it and line blocks it, the follow-through from, I think it's Kevin McDonald, but I think the follow-through has just caught his ankle. He just felt it and we were not in the position. Normally in normal matches, as you know, Rob, you give a player 3 or 4 minutes to get that feeling back and get running again. But, you know, my management thought process is there that we expected an immediate reaction from Wolves, who I thought were super today and all over the pitch. And what a credit they are going forward into the Championship. And I think they'll challenge ultimately. So that's an even better win for us. But yeah, I think it's Ryan will be fine.
This is the Championship, isn't it? A lot of games are going to be decided like this. They're going to be fine margins where goals like today's goal are going to decide games, aren't they?
Well, we had it against us last week. You know, the boy at Derby has a stunning finish, you know, from probably the only chance they make in the second half. And a game that we dominated the ball like Wolves did in spells today, and we dominated possession. And for the last 20 minutes, we're probably waves of attack towards the Derby goal, and we got punished. And people did say when we step up, it will be fine lines on a weekly basis until the table settles down. And then you tend to see the strong from the weak. But I think the results today are showing that a lot of teams can beat each other.
Was it just a bit too much at times for John Swift in that first half? Is that why you felt you had to make that change? Because it's a learning curve for him, isn't it?
Well, listen, he's 19 years old. And believe me, the harder you try sometimes at a football pitch, the worse you can get. And I was certainly not going to be withdrawn before half-time. But it just seemed to be the stuff that he's just magic at. And I mean magic, pulling balls and passing balls and 1-2s around corners and that. Everything the kid was doing, he was off today. But I said to him at half-time, you know, he's come off for the right reasons, he'll learn from it. And he's very much in our thoughts for Tuesday. People will, of course, phone your station and say no, but they were saying we shouldn't have signed a lot of players over the last couple of years. So he'll be terrific for us over the season, I've got no doubt.
What about your debutant up top? Kind of played just behind Alex Revell and came so close to a debut goal, didn't he?
Well, it was a typical Paul Taylor piece of magic, wasn't it? You know, you have to get Paul Taylor the ball in and around the final third. And, you know, he's only arrived and trained with the boys for briefly an hour yesterday and travelled up late on Tuesday. Yeah, I'm sure he'll do very, very well for us. And he brings some further competition to a little area of the pitch that we do that. And, you know, we're not silly. We've got some business to do before the end of the month. But he's a welcome addition, Paul.
What was going through your mind with the Kieran Agard situation? Because it seems he came close to moving to Leeds. He didn't come on at half-time. He did come on eventually for Ryan Hall. How did you manage that situation? Did you feel like you couldn't start him today?
Yeah, of course I felt I couldn't start him. You know, Kieran was excused from training yesterday because he went off for some talks with Leeds United, another great football club. But Kieran decided that was not the right move for him at this minute in time. And because he had been excused from training, because the kids obviously involved different dialogue to training and preparing properly for a match, I had a long chat with him for about half an hour in my office before the game. And then when we finished that chat, I made the decision I'd have him on the bench. But he was always going to play a part, wasn't he? He's a terrific player. But, you know, listen, if you're going to get close on £1 million guarantee for a kid like that, then we're a football club that everyone has a value. But I think every football club's players have a value. You know, Tottenham Hotspur had a value for Gareth Bale, didn't they? Manchester United had a value for Cristiano Ronaldo. So if it's reached the value, you'll get permission to talk to other clubs. But I keep reading other clubs saying they're doing this and they're doing that. Get your chequebooks up, shut up or go away. That's your choice. You know, you have to pay the rate that we want or we'll keep him.
Does it increase the possibility of him extending his contract here now that he's not signed for Leeds?
Well, we must have a stronger case for him extending the contract if he doesn't think it's right for him to take terms elsewhere, doesn't it? You know, and as we always say to Kieran, perhaps the grass isn't always greener on the other side. But I thought he came on today and I think he immediately gave them a problem, didn't he? You know, he immediately gave them a problem. You know, I think the left back suddenly realised that we had a right sided player on the pitch, and then he had a problem. So we're pleased with Kieran. He conducts himself in a real professional way. Everyone at his football club likes him and loves working with him. He comes in with a smile. Can we miss Mal again today? Mm. And you know, so we'll get back on the training ground with Kieran and we'll see what he's looking like in training for Tuesday. If he looks right, he'll be in contention. If he don't look right, he'll sit next to me.
Just a final question on Kieran. Do you think that Leeds' interest is over now? Have they mentioned anything to you? I just asked because Liam Cooper was going there 1 minute, it was off, then it was on again. Could that happen with Kieran?
Well, I can never call that, can I? I can't speak for the president up there, for Mr. Massimo or for Dave Hockaday. You know, the only thing I knew about Leeds at one point is that Dave Hockaday called me and told me they liked him. And I told him I was going to phone Real Madrid and told them I like Cristiano Ronaldo. But the bottom line is, within an hour of that call, of course, Leeds United Football Club had put an offer to a chairman that deemed it had hit the value, so he was given permission. So should Leeds United wish to re-enter into conversations with Kieran, the permission to talk to him is now over. That period that they had, which was for 2 hours yesterday, is complete. And I suppose they need to come back to our chief executive.
How key was Paul Green for you at times today? At this level, you need someone who's going to do the job that he does.
Well, Paul Green's a terrific player and we worked extremely hard to get Paul Green here when you have the likes of Ipswich and Reading and clubs like that who are also talking to the boy. But, you know, I managed to travel and meet the kid 3 or 4 times and kept texting him and annoying him and stuff that you do as a manager when you want a player. And thankfully we got him here. But he's not just a part of your engine room in the middle of the park. He's such a fantastic professional off the pitch when he's in Monday to Friday and training and stuff like that. And we don't have enough of them at this football club and we want more like that.
And just a final one on Kurt Broadfoot. The last two games he's played a role which, you know, I've never seen him play before. It's quite unfamiliar to him, but he's done a job for you there, hasn't he?
That's the word. He's done a job, you know. And if we said to Kurt Broadfoot, get by yourself a pair of goalie gloves on the way in, son, he'd be stopping at the shop because he is another one like Paul Green, but he's a... Well, he's a fantastic professional. But we signed Kurt Broadfoot to come here and compete for a position in a central defensive unit. And that's where Kurt will ultimately fight it out. But at this minute in time, with Fraser being unavailable and young Richard getting up to speed with the Championship, then we're prepared to go with him. He may not be there on Tuesday, we'll see.
Well done, Steve.
Thank you.